أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 143. وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. وما جعلنا القبلة التي كنت عليها إلا لنعلم من يتبع الرسول ممن ينقلب على عقبيه، وإن كانت لكبيرة إلا على الذين هدى الله، وما كان الله ليضيع إيمانكم إن الله بالناس لرؤوف رحيم. Quite a long ayah. Thus we have made you a middle nation, that you may be witnesses to the people, and that the messenger may be a witness to you. And we did not appoint the Qibla you were following, but that we may ascertain those who follow the messenger from those who turn back on their heels. It was indeed a hard thing, except for those whom Allah has guided. And Allah would not let your prayers go waste. Indeed, Allah is most kind and merciful to mankind. If you remember last week, we said that there are a couple of questions regarding this ayah, especially the first sentence, why it has been placed here. It's in the context of the verses which talk about change of qibla. The previous verse said that سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَلَّهُ مَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمْ أَلَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. The foolish among people would say why they changed their qibla. And now Allah actually gives a reason. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدًا. In this, or thus we have made you a middle nation, so that you are witnesses over people and the messenger is witness over you. Now, what relation this has with the context, I will mention after we have discovered or explored the meaning of it. And the sentence is a very, very famous sentence, of course. And in many places, you will see that this ummah is ummatan wasata, and Allah has made this a middle ummah or a pivotal ummah, or an ummah which is witnessing over other ummahs. Look, let's see what it means first, what the exegetes have said about it, and then we will discuss the relationship or the connection of this sentence here in the context of change of qibla. Now, regarding ummah, ummah usually means a group of people. Now, it may be up to 10 people or more, up to a nation. We can call all of them an ummah. For example, when Musa alayhi salam entered Madian, wajada alayhi, falamma warada ma'a Madian wajada alayha ummatan minan nas yasqun. When Musa entered the wells of Madian, he found an ummah from Nas, from people. It means a group of people. They may have been a dozen of people, 10, 12 people, where when they were actually taking water for their cattle. So ummah can start from a few people. 4 or 5 people could be called an ummah, and a nation can be called an ummah as well. Now here, usually the exegetes have made this ummah to mean the nation. Sunni exegetes, Shia exegetes have their own, of course, way of explaining this sentence. The Sunni exegetes have made, taken the meaning of ummah to mean the nation, not a group of people. And wasat also have different meanings. Shahid have different meanings. Now we have to see which meaning would be more suitable. What is the meaning of wasat? Wasat may mean wasat, that's middle, something which is in the middle. And It may mean a medium between two things. So we have made you a nation which is medium between the messenger and other nations, as they may say. Or wasat may mean something which is in between two extremes. And in that sense, it means adl, it means just. So, kadhalika ja'alnakum ummatan wasatan means we have made you a just ummah. Something which is away from extremism from both sides, from lacking vigor and from having extra vigor. We have made you wasat with i'tidal, with moderation. This is another meaning of wasat. And there is one other meaning for wasat, which means the best of everything. أعدله وأفضله وسط الشيء أعدله وأفضله, the best of everything. So you are the best nation. In this way, we have made you to be the best nation. لتكونوا شهداء. So what's the meaning of شهداء? Witnesses or whatever it means. If we have these three terms clarified, then we can give a sort of solid meaning to the sentence. So, ummah, a group of people or a nation. Wasat, just or medium. Shaheed may mean something, someone who witnesses about something else. And also it may mean a hujjah, a proof. Why? Because shaheed is someone that others are actually being judged in relation to him, and therefore it means a proof, it means a hujjah, and it means a role model, because a role model is always someone against whom we judge our behavior, we judge our beliefs and everything. So, لِتَكُونُ شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, it may mean so that you are witnesses over people. And witnessing may be in this world and in the next world, or only in the next world. And it may mean that you are a hujjah over other nations, in the sense that what you do is a role model for them and they have to follow you. So this is another meaning for shuhada. There's another meaning for shaheed that I will mention later on, inshallah, after we have discussed the meaning of this. Now, usually Ahl al-Sunnah, they take ummah here to mean religion. And we have this meaning in Quran as well. وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ, we found our fathers to be on a religion, to be on a creed, and we were following them. However, they haven't taken it in that meaning. They have taken the ummah as the nation who has this religion to be the middle ummah, or the ummah which is witness. If we take ummah to be the nation, why they have taken this meaning? Because we cannot say that the nation of Islam, ummah, the collective sort of the collectivity of Muslims altogether can be a proof or can be a hujjah or can be shaheed. We know that among these ummah there were tyrants. There are people whose shahada or witness is not accepted in a magistrate court, let alone somewhere like, for example, the Day of Judgment. How could this ummah include everyone? That's why they have actually left behind the meaning of ummah here, and have made it have regarded it to be the faith of Islam. The faith of Islam is a middle faith, or a faith which is hujjah. However, we have problem taking that meaning. Why? Because it says لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so that you are witnesses over people. And the messenger is witness over you. It's talking about people, not about the creed. The verse is talking about people. that you people are witnesses over others or are role models for others, and the messenger is a witness over you or a role model for you. So we cannot, the meaning of Ummah here cannot be religion, cannot be faith in itself. Because some Sunni actually say that, okay, the religion of Islam is a religion which is far away from extremes. It is religion of Tawheed. It tells us the real meaning of Tawheed, and therefore all other religions should come back to it. It's a role model, it's a hujja, it's a witness over all other creeds and religions, and therefore it's ummatan wasata, a just ummah. However, first of all, wasat is, meaning adl, if we take it as just, it is a description for people, not for religions. And secondly, as I said, here it's talking about individuals being shuhada, litakunu shuhada ala nas. You are witnesses over people. Now, the problem why we cannot take this ummah as the people, the collectivity, the sort of all Muslims together, because we know that all Muslims are not wasat, are not adl, are not just. They cannot be a medium between the Prophet and the people. Now, look at the ummah now, at this present time, let alone the, let aside history, we don't want to talk about history and what crimes this ummah has committed as a nation, but look at the ummah now and look how diverse their views are and look what extremes they go in their practice. Look at those who are very extremist and violent and want to kill everyone, and those who want to actually be assimilated into every faith. Any new idea comes, they accept, and they say, yes, of course, this can be incorporated into Islam. So how could these people be a witness, be a first of all of them be just? And this is what actually Shia exegetes have criticized Sunni exegetes for. They say that, how do you say that this ummah, لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, you are ummatan wasatan, you mean the whole Muslims. It cannot be. Look what Sheikh Tusi mentions here. He says that, فَأَمَّا الْأُمَّةَ فَجَمَاعَتُهَا حُجَّةٌ دُونَ كُلَّ وَاحَدٍ مِّنْهَا. Ummah is hujja because collectively they have the haqq. It means some of them are real just people who are members of this ummah, and therefore as a nation altogether they have the haqq, not every individual of them. And he says that we know that not every individual of this ummah have this quality to be a witness over others, and therefore we cannot take it as that. Now, if you say, he's discussing with Ahlus Sunnah actually, if you say that by ummah we means the just people among the ummah, the just people among the ummah are witnesses, and he says, well, justice has different levels, and if you say that, we come back to our view, and that is, this refers only to a particular group of this ummah who are a'imma alayhimus salam. Now, what Ahlus Sunnah have said here in this discussion is that certainly ummah cannot refer to every individual Muslim. We have in this individual Muslims, we have Yazid, we have Umar ibn Sa'd, we have Saddam Hussein, we have all these people who are now violently acting against everyone, all these are members of this ummah. If you say that we cannot take them, then we say, okay, who? You say, well, the just people among the ummah. Well, who are these just people among the ummah that the verse is referring to? Well, of course, it's referring to the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, the A'imma alayhimus salam. In this way, we have made you ummatan wasata. You are just, you are medium between the Prophet and the people, and of course you are role models, you are proofs of Allah over people, Hujjatullah, you are shuhada over people, you will witness about what they do in this world and in the next world. So the Shi'i way of explaining this verse and similar verses in the Quran, because we have in a couple of other places verses like this, the Shi'i view is that these verses refer to particular people among the Ummah, and the whole Ummah could be described as Ummatan Wasata because of these people. And always, every nation is like that. For example, Allah says that we saved Banu Israel bima sabaru, because they were patient. Well, we know that not all Banu Israel were patient. We know that Allah has described them with impatience, with criticism against Musa alayhi salam. Yes, because there were certain people among them who were patient, and Allah saved the whole nation. So, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, according to Shia view, is particularly referring to the A'imma from Ahlul Bayt, who are purely, purely just. We cannot say people with some certain degrees of justice can be hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone commits sin, can never become a hujjah, cannot ever become a role model for people. Now let's look at some of the narrations in this regard from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. In Al-Kafi, there is a hadith from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, who said, "Nahnu al-ummatu al-wasat." We are that middle nation. We are that just nation. "Wa nahnu shuhada'ullah ala khalqi." We are the people who witness, or are witnesses of Allah over people. "Wa hujajuhu fi ardihi wa sama'ihi." And we are the proofs of Allah in the earth and in the heaven. It means among the angels. Also, Al-Hafidh al-Hasakani has a book called Shawahid al-Tanzil. He is a Sunni author, but has collected all verses which has some sort of bearing regarding Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, saying, talking about the merits of Ahlul Bayt. In this book, he says, لَتَكُونُ, from Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, إِيَّانَا أَنَا بِقَوْلِهِ لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Allah is referring to us in this verse, that you should be witnesses over people. فَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَاهِدٌ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ شُهَدَاءُ اللَّهِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ وَحُجَّتِهِ فِي أَرْضِهِ وَنَحْنُ الَّذِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. So Rasulullah is our role model, is our leader, and we are role model for the people when Rasulullah is absent, of course, and we are the ones who, about whom Allah says, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And also, there is another hadith from Imam al-Baqir in Tafsir al-Ayyashi, who said, نَحْنُ نَمَتُ الْحِجَازِ. We are the group of Hijaz. When he was asked, who are the group of Hijaz? He said, أَوْسَطُ الْأَنْمَاتِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. The just group, which Allah says about it, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And the meaning of this is explained here very clearly. إِلَيْنَا يَرْجِعُ الْغَالِي وَبِنَا يَلْحَقُ الْمُقَسَّرِ. We are the moderate nation. Those who go extreme in faith, in religion, in violence, in whatever, in claims, they have to come back to us. And those who are left behind, they are slow in accepting these precepts, they have to join us. That's the meaning of the middle nation. There are many, many different ahadith that I don't want to somewhat prolong our discussion here. Just one other hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who said, after reciting this verse, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, he said, ظَنَنْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنَا بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ جَمِيعَ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. من الموحدين. Do you think that Allah by this verse means everyone who prays towards Qibla, موحدين means Muslimin? Do you think this is the case? أفترى أن من لا يجوز شهادته في الدنيا على صائم من تمر يطلب الله شهادته يوم القيامة ويقبلها منه بحضرته. There's some problem here in the text. It says that, do you think, Afatura, do you think that a person, a Muslim, who because he has committed certain crimes, their witness, their testimony is not accepted over a kilogram of dates in this world, Allah is making them shuhada over everyone on the day of judgment? Is that possible? So, then he said, لم يأن الله مثل هذا من خلقه يعني الأم التي وجبت لها إلا التي وجبت لها دعوة إبراهيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. This is only about a group of people that the dua of Ibrahim was fulfilled in their regard, and Allah said, you are the best group of people that I have brought up, I have put as a guide for everyone. Now, having said that, we actually come to the relationship between this sentence and the context of change of Qibla. You remember we were talking about preparations, the verses which were preparing our minds for why Qibla should be changed. And it was saying that Allah showed the place of Kaaba to Ibrahim, he came and built it, and Allah said, طَحْرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَعِ سُجُودَ purify. And then Ibrahim made certain du'as. One of the du'a, Ibrahim and Ismail, one of the du'as was this, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكْ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. Made us two Muslims for yourself, and from our progeny, an ummah, not everyone, of course, from our progeny, an ummah, a group. Here again, ummah doesn't mean nation, means group. From our progeny, an ummah who are Muslim like us. That is absolute submission, absolute dedication to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make us and from our progeny a group which is like that. Now, this dua was fulfilled. And Allah is saying here that you are the custodians of Kaaba. Kaaba is where a group of people, Ibrahim, made this dua. And you are the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, that group of people. And as you are so highly dignified, Kaaba is so highly dignified as well. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And the Kaaba should have been Qibla because of you, because Ibrahim made it, because you are the fulfillment of that dua. Kaaba should have been Qibla because of you. And if it was not, it was only a test. If we said that the Prophet should pray towards Baytul Muqaddas all those years in Mecca and then 17 months in Medina, because we wanted to test people. Otherwise, this place should have been Qibla right from the beginning. This is what the verse says, actually. It says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولُ مِمَّنْ يَنْغَلِبُ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ. And we did not appoint the Qibla you were following, but that we may ascertain those who follow the messenger from those who turn back on their heels. Now, this has a ta'wil and has a tafsir. A deeper meaning, the deeper meaning is that, okay, this ummah whose faith, whose destiny is at attached to the Kaaba are a test for the nation. This may be the ta'wil of it. And also, this change of Qibla, this is the tafsir of it, this change of Qibla is a test for those who were claiming that they were Muslims. Now, regarding these Ummat and Wasata, there is a verse at the end of Surah Hajj as well, which also gives the same very particular meaning, not general meaning. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu rka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum waf'alu al-khayra la'allakum tuflihun. O you who believe, Allah gives them some sort of instructions, and then he says, "Wajahidu fillahi haqqa jihadih." This group of people, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu irka'u, bow down, prostrate, and worship your Lord, so that you become successful. You are muflih. Wajahidu fillahi haqqa jihadih, and struggle in Allah, not fi sabilillah, in Allah. Fi sabilillah is fighting in the battlefield. Jahidu fillah means a struggle to get close to him, haqqa jihad, the way he deserves, which we cannot do, of course. It's only a group of people who can do that. Huwa jitabakum, he chose you. Wa ma ja'ala alaykum fi ddina min haraj, and did not put any tightness in faith for you. Millata abikum Ibrahim, this is the faith of your father Ibrahim. Huwa sammakumul muslimin, he called you Muslim. When did he call him Muslim, them Muslim? Wa min dhurriyatina ummatan muslimatan lak, from our progeny, a group of people who are Muslim like us. He called you Muslims. Now, this verse is very clear that it's particular, it's not referring to all the believers. So, after having, of course, clarified this, we come back to the, of course, tafsir of وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولُ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَائِهِ. And they have said that after the change of Qibla, some people actually turned away from Islam. They said, how come? How is it possible that this prophet was calling us to pray towards Jerusalem up till now, and now he has changed his mind and is now calling us to pray towards Mecca? And of course, here there are all these discussions of Bada. How is it possible that Allah would change his mind? Is Bada changing mind, or is it because of different situations, rulings would change? We don't want to enter all those discussions. But one meaning is that some of the Muslimun turned away from their faith, and that's why Allah says we made it a test for the believers to see who is really following the Prophet and who is following what makes sense for them. You know, this is a very important matter. You know, even in today's time, especially today's time, there are many things which we may say, based on our values, these things do not make sense. And then when we say, okay, this is the instruction of Allah, we have to change our perspective so that these things make sense. In our own perspective, in this life, you want to follow the perspective of the sort of common people of our time, yes, they don't make sense. It's like just what we had, the discussion we had last week about homosexuality. Nowadays, based on these values and justifications that they make, they say, well, it doesn't make sense. People should be free to have what sort of inclination they have in their gender, in their sex. But that is in this perspective. And when we say it doesn't make sense, we turn away from our faith. It's a test. However, if we change perspective and look from where Allah wants us to look, then of course it makes sense that it's a sin. It's a grave sin. And it makes sense, and this has been the practice until 1960s, isn't it, of all people. Now suddenly the viewpoints changed and the world changed, the atheism came and all these things, and then people are justifying these sort of things by saying that, well, of course, in our modern society, this doesn't make sense. We have to let everyone to be free. This extreme individualism that we have in our modern society, we have to change perspective to see things in that light rather than to turn away from what Allah has instructed us. So this is one explanation. The other explanation is that لَنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبُوا الرَّسُولُ مِمَّنْ يَنْغَلْهُ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَةِ means the Jews, the kuffar, who were actually not accepting, now they are inviting people to turn away from their faith. And as I mentioned earlier, there's another explanation for that, and that is the people of Medina, because they were actually very much mixed with the Jews of their time, and they regarded Jews very highly, because Jews were educated, they read the scripture, they had strict practices of their faith. So people of Medina, despite being mushrikun, they respected Jews very much. And they had some sort of feeling towards Jerusalem. And therefore, when Prophet was praying towards Jerusalem, they found it very agreeable to them, that yes, this is our faith, we are praying towards Jerusalem. On the other hand, people of Mecca had a prejudice towards Mecca, that they wanted to pray towards Kaaba, and Kaaba was where they were living. And when this change happened, previously when they were praying towards Jerusalem, it was a test for the people of Mecca to see who follows obediently the Prophet. When the Qibla was changed, it was a test for the people of Medina, that we now have to see who follows the Prophet obediently. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ. Of course, it was very difficult, this change of Qibla, from many points, theologically, practically, socially. It was very difficult for Muslims to understand and to follow, except those that Allah had guided. And there was another question which came up, which is alluded in passing in this verse, and that's, okay, what about the prayers that we did before? We prayed towards Jerusalem, and now you tell us to pray towards Kaaba. So what about those prayers that we prayed all these years towards Jerusalem? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah is not going to let your acts to be wasted. Allah would not let your prayers to go waste. Why? Because you are obedient to Allah. They are all accepted. And this brings many other theological and practical discussions, that when an action is accepted and how, when the fatwa of a marja changes, what happens to our previous actions, isn't it? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah is not going to let your actions go waste. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Now, here, salat is called iman, and all exegetes say this. There is no difference between disagreement among exegetes that iman means salat. Allah is not going, your iman go waste, means your salat. And therefore, this discussion has come up that actually actions are part of iman. We cannot say we have iman without actions. Actions are part of iman. I just mentioned this hadith, and we finish. This is from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Tafsir al-Ayyashi. He was asked about iman. What is faith? He said, what is it? أَقَوْلٌ هُوَ وَعَمَلٌ أَمُقَوْلٌ بِلَا عَمَلٍ. Is it actions plus belief or only belief? Which one is iman? Only if we believe in God, and if we believe in Tawheed, if we believe in the prophethood of the Prophet, is it iman, or it should be added by the actions, the salat and fast, that is iman. Now, he said that, فَقَالَ الْإِيمَانِ عَمَلٌ كُلُّهُ. He said iman is only actions. Iman is not view, is not belief. Iman is action. وَالْقَوْلُ بَعْضُ تَلْكَ الْأَمَلِ. Belief is part of that action. It's very interesting. Belief, when you believe in unity of God, it is an act of mind, actually. It is a part of the actions which all together make the faith. So, بعض ذلك العمل مفترض من الله. And then he says, he brings this example about the change of Qibla. He says, when the Qibla was changed, Allah mentioned that Allah is not going to lay your to let your iman go waste, meaning salat. فَسَمَّ الصَّلَاةَ إِيمَانًا. Allah has called salat to be faith. So whoever meets Allah, protecting while he has protected all his limbs and has actually fulfilled every duty of every limb, he would meet Allah مُسْتَكْمِلًا لِإِيمَانِهِ. His faith is perfect, complete. And whoever, وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, and whoever meets Allah while some of these actions he has not performed, he will meet with dented iman. Meet Allah with dented. The iman is dented. The iman is not perfect. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. Brothers and sisters, we have about 15-20 minutes to further the discussion. Clarification or questions? Anybody?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Very simply, I'm trying to read this verse and not trying to apply too much to make it complicated. And I'm pretty much skimming through it very easily, thinking that this particularly meant for that occasion, for that particular time when the Qibla was changed. Because the other thing that we might have missed is that in the Kaaba at that time there were idols, am I right, at the time? So it would have been difficult for a lot of Muslims to say, we're going from an educated Jewish central figure of Jerusalem to a backward which has idols inside it, Kaaba. So that when you look at it that way, you can see the gravity of the situation. Of course, you alluded to that as well. So when you say that, I can't see where it gets too complicated into referring to the masumin, for example. And I don't see the need for that, because as you went down the ayat, it actually said that people who turn away, it's what has turned them away from their Qibla, which they used to observe. So it's quite specific to that time and event. We can take lessons from everything, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, is this in the tafsir, does it not say that this is straightforwardly what happened, and because of the Jews it was difficult for them to change the Qibla? That's all. Is it not as simple as that?
Well, I said this is the tafsir of it. I said it may have a ta'wil, a deeper meaning. I said it may have a deeper meaning. Yes, the tafsir is very straightforward. Of course, it's very difficult to connect this sentence, the first sentence, to the whole verse without referring to that particular group of people who are the just individuals among the nation. However, putting that aside is very clear, yes. But I said, having that sentence in mind, there may be a ta'wil of it, that a'imma are tests for the nation as well. And ta'wil does not interfere with tafsir at all. Yes, what you say is very clear. Okay? Yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters? Before we go to brothers? Any sister? No? Sarfraz?
Alaykum as-salam.
Sheikh, if we look at the history of Ibrahim, there's probably 8 or 10 actions that he's done in his life that we are aware of. And presumably the Jews should be aware of all these things as well, including his building of Kaaba. Do they recognize that?
I'm not sure now if there's any reference to that in the Bible. I'm not sure.
The Bible is one thing, but in their own history, because they do collect their history from everything.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, have they just erased this? They just don't want to know about it.
I don't know. We have to.
Because it would be something they should have known about.
Yeah.
And secondly, then, if we look at it in that light, Allah hasn't changed the Prophet's Qibla to a new Qibla. Rather, he brought it back to the old one. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet, Rasulullah, would have been aware of that. That, look, finally, we're going back to what it should have been. and all these years it wasn't because it was lost?
Well, by old one you mean...
Bayt al-Muqaddas was maybe 1,000, 1,500 years after Ibrahim.
Yeah.
So in the time before...
But we don't know if any people ever prayed towards Kaaba, you know, we don't know. Because the Mushrikun did not pray.
Well, surely Ibrahim and his son did. And you'd have thought one or two generations after that they would have.
I don't know. We have to find out whether they prayed towards Kaaba or not.
Because it was a holy house for them.
Yes, it was.
It was a very holy house
for
them.
It's possible. It's possible. We have to see. It's possible.
That could be a possibility.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sheikh, any sisters? Any sisters? Brothers? Number 3, yeah.
Yeah, Sean. Salaam alaikum. Huwa sammakum muslimin. Some mufassirin say that Huwa is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not Ibrahim. And I found it always difficult to believe these. Or
what is Allah?
Huwa sammakum al muslimin. من قبل وفي هذا هو it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to Ibrahim.
Even if it refers to Allah, that's possible. Yeah, this is a sort of two different explanations for that. هو سماكم المسلمين.
Because they take it that من قبل وفي هذا. وفي هذا is in the Quran Kareem.
Yes.
They mean هذا is the Quran Kareem.
Yes.
So they say it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala هو and not Ibrahim. What do you think? Yeah.
Well, if we say it's Ibrahim, is هو سماكم المسلمين من قبل. وَفِي هَذَا we have made a mention of it. That's fine. In this Quran also it's mentioned that Ibrahim said that.
So okay. Different.
However, even if we say Huwa means Allah, Huwa Sammakum Muslimin, when Ibrahim was making that dua and وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ Allah accepted that and called them Muslims. Okay? مِن قَبْل and also in this Quran.
Thank you. Sisters? Brothers? Sheikh, what I understand from the definition of Iman is that it is action, yes? Okay, I mean, we can relate Salah or Psalm, that's action, which is Iman. Now, the Iman on the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is sort of, we side with them, so probably that is also a kind of action. But Iman on the Day of Judgment, how would you...
The Imam says that view that you have is also an act of mind. It's also an action. Also, for example, humbleness is a big part of faith, is action. Okay, avoiding from many sins is an action itself, is part of faith. So faith in general, and that's why Imam says, وَالْقَوْلُ مِنْهُ, something like that. And your views are also part of that action.
I see, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Number
2. Assalamu alaikum. If we say that Iman includes action, there are so many verses which say, آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا بِالصَّالِحَ
الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَ.
What is the purpose of it? This seems to be superfluous if it already includes part of Iman.
Yeah, it means that it is explaining what Iman is. Amal al-Saleh, because we know that mu'min would be rewarded by paradise. But a mu'min which has no action would not be rewarded at all. And that shows Iman is, that Amal al-Saleh is an explanation of Iman rather than just an addition to it.
Any? Yeah.
Sorry, I'm Sheikh. Just going back to the discussion on the meaning of Ummah. In the Quran, Surah 16, verse 120, Allah says, Ibrahim kana ummatan. Does this relate to the meaning that we discussed in this session, or does it have another meaning? Or?
Yeah, it is related, because some people say Ummah means people from one upward. So Ibrahim was an individual, we can call him an Ummah. But I think I discussed this here before. Ummah means creed as well. Ummah means role model as well. So in this sense, Ibrahim may have been mentioned to be as an Ummah, as a nation in his faith, in his humbleness, or Ibrahim may have been meant to be a role model for everyone. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan means he was a role model for everyone. If we take Ummah to be a Crete, yeah.
Thank you. Any brothers or sisters? Sheikh, okay, you have explained us from the Shia point of view the definitions and of the Ummah, Wasat and Shaheed and all that. And you put forward the views of the Sunni ulama as well. Now, of course, at present time, there are so many Sunni ulamas who are well-versed in the Quran and all that. Have they, in your opinion, changed the definition of these Ummah, Wasat and Shaheed? Do they specifically narrow it down to what we narrow it down to?
Who, sorry?
The Sunnis.
The Sunnis. Yes, they narrow it. As I said, some of them take Ummah to mean the religion, the faith. And yes, of course, this faith is a middle faith. It is just faith. It's witness over all other faiths. But the pronouns which are coming later on, letakunu, so that you are witnesses over people, so that the Prophet is witness over you, doesn't go very well with this meaning to take Ummah as religion. Those of whom, those Sunni commentators who have taken Ummah to be as nation people, yes, they have narrowed it down. They said, of course, al-udul min al-Ummah, the just people among the Ummah can only be, have this quality, not everyone else. And that's what Sheikh Tusi says. He says, if you narrow it down, then we can narrow it down to A'immah alayhi wasalam. If that is the argument, then our argument will be that, okay, we have to see what level of justice is needed to make a person to be the role model. And if you are doing it, which they have to, of course, there's no other point, no other choice there, then we can refer to our narration saying that this refers only to A'immah alayhi wasalam.
But then, okay, if they narrowed it down to A'immah alayhi wasalam, and also when I say the Sunnis have narrowed it down to A'immah alayhi wasalam, plus other just people.
No, does they it, haven't narrowed it to A'immah and other. They say the just people
Just the just. So, but that would also include the A'immah alayhi wasalam, isn't it?
If they regard A'immah to be just, yes, of course.
No, why not?
Yes. It includes them, yes.
So doesn't that sound more logical? Because apart from the A'immah, okay, there are other just people as well, although not at the level of the A'immah, but...
Yeah, but we have to see when Allah makes someone to be that highly esteemed at that level, like to be shuhada, on the day of judgment they want to witness, to offer testimony, then shouldn't we say that this should be the very cream of the just people among the Ummah, rather than every just person?
Okay. Riaz, you're good with the mic?
Sheikh, when you said the cream of the just people, I thought of a personality who was actually referred to as a Ummah. If you remember Beheshti, after him, Sheikh Ayatollah Khomeini said, Beheshti yak millet bud. So that millet is exactly the same as Ummah? I mean, he was a personality, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, I think he was actually referring, somehow drawing on these verses.
Drawing on the same verse to say that Ummah is exactly the same as a millet. So he was such a personality.
But, well, I don't know if Beheshti can be someone who testifies on the Day of Judgment for everyone, you know? That's a different thing.
Not as big, yes. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Any sisters?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. You mentioned a very important point, which is the basis of people thinking so differently now, is that we feel that we have the right in today's day to be independent in our thinking, and this independency has caused this diversion. And without the education, which is the lack of education about the A'immah alayhi wasalam, about the Quran, this has become an immediate problem. how do you suggest that we approach, especially, I mean, in our generations, we just obeyed. We didn't have, you know. But nowadays, you cannot. You have to explain so much, and you know, how do you approach this this in today's day? Especially because it's quite harsh to me that you know, after the when they did not believe in the Qibla, they were like the Quran is quite harsh with that.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, this is a problem of our time. That, of course, it's not only of our time. You see, even at the time of the prophets, there were such discussions as well. And Allah says this was a test and such things. As I said, sometimes it's not the youngsters who are who initiate these matters. It's the grown-ups who initiate such issues, who actually change perspective. And when they look from a different perspective, things don't make sense. And when they don't make sense, they come say, okay, maybe Islam did not mean that. Maybe Islam did not mean what we understand now. So what we have to be aware of all the time is that it's not the youngsters who are like that. It's actually there are some leaders in this sort of attitude and change of perspective. And secondly, we cannot confront this except with arguments. We cannot force people. It's only arguments which can somehow repel arguments. So the best thing is education, educating ourselves in religion, not in other things, and then coming and commenting on religion. That's fine, but we have to have people who can argue, who can discuss these matters with good reasoning so that the confusion goes away. There's no other way.
Do you want to add something to it? No? Sorry. Okay. Ali? Ali?
Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to refer to the Ummatun Wasatan, which you said refers to a specific group of people, or the ta'wil would be the imams, that would still, it could still include the broader term, is that correct? So for example, if you have lots of Christians and lots of Muslims and lots of Jews, then if you compare the scholars, or if you compare the normal people or the people that don't know much about their religion or practice the bare minimum, and if you stratify them, then in each field, the Muslims would be the wasat compared to the similar level of the other field. For example, if you just have three kids walking and the Muslim's in the middle and this Christian on his left says, you know, Jesus did this miracle, and the Muslim would say, yes, that's a hujjah, he's confirming. So it's one interpretation of the word shaheed that you said. But the Jew on his right would say no, and then he would say, oh, we can't eat this food, it has pork in it. And the Muslim would again would say, yes, I won't eat it either. And the Christian would say, no, I'll eat it. So they have no further knowledge of their religions, but they're practicing it in a very bare minimum. And is that not also an interpretation of it? So going back to the original thing that you said with the specific ta'wil, it could still include this stratified version where in each level, the Muslims would be the Ummatun Wasat.
So you are actually referring that back to faith, to religion, that this religion is wasat religion, and therefore the person who believes in these things can be a witness over other religions. So again, we are not taking it back to people, we are taking it back to religion of people. Because that Muslim who is wasat may have many characteristics which would be worse than the other two, Christians and Jews. So he cannot be a witness over them. But yes, his faith can be a witness over their faiths.
Are you confused? Or you want to add something, Ali?
No, I was just going to say, well, they'll all have defects in their faith and their behavior, all three boys that are walking.
Yes, of course. The way that Muslim believes in Islam has many defects, isn't it? Again. So individuals cannot be, ordinary individuals cannot be included in this ummah. This ummah is a perfect ummah.
Okay. Any sisters? Sisters? No, Jamil?
It's Jamil here. Number four.
So it is Ummat al-Wasta. You went again, minor thing, what you said. You went back to the A'imma, meaning the Imams and whatever, yeah? And you're saying they are the Ummat al-Wasta. And I don't see why, why we always have to concentrate on the A'imma. I mean, they weren't even there at the time when the verses were revealed. Obviously, only Imam Ali and maybe a few other Imams. Why can't we just read it as it is? And, you know, Muslims are.
Well, you can read it as it is, but it has those problems that I mentioned.
Just because there are bad Muslims and there are good Muslims, I don't think because there's always going to be people who are, you know, even in the Muslim Ummah, we have people who do bad things. It doesn't mean that we're going to have to say that every one of them refers to that. It's just the concept of the Islam.
As I said, you now return it to religion, isn't it? The religion of Islam is the best religion, not Muslims, because you see Muslims, how they practice it. And this is what many Sunni exegetes have said. It refers to the religion. But then the pronouns, so that you are witnesses over people, not your religion. That's the problem. You know, there are always certain problems in certain verses which brings up the need to do ta'wil of it, rather than just stick to the apparent meaning. It's because of the problems that we face. Like, for example, Ar-Rahman al-Arsh istawa, God is sitting on the throne. Why don't you take it as it is? God is sitting on the throne, somewhere in the heaven. Why don't you? Because there are problems with that, isn't it? So you need to do ta'wil of it. And this verse also has the same problems. If you take all Muslims to be included, then we face problems, then we have to do certain different interpretation of it.
Thank you, sisters. I think Safraj. Oh, okay. Just follow. Yeah,
very
follow
quickly,
up.
follow. Because you keep saying that this refers to the religion, but it says, لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَىٰ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so that, or so it's an objective, isn't it? So this is what we need to strive to reach towards, and our best symbols, our best role models are the A'imma, but it still has a general application to us, and it says لِتَكُونُوا, so that's what we have to strive towards. We're failing, or at least I am, or a lot of us are, some of us aren't, maybe a smaller group, but it's setting the objective for us rather than saying that this is the definition.
Again, you are taking Ummah to be religion, isn't it? We have given you the best religion so that you try to be witnesses over people.
Well, we can't be witnesses over people without our religion. I mean, what makes us special is the religion. So I find it difficult to completely separate the two.
No, it's the way we practice our religion. That's the most important thing. And no one can practice this religion perfectly until they are perfectly just, isn't it? Anyhow, it's good that we are discussing all these things, knowing that there is huge discussion around this verse. Whichever way we explain it.
Surprise you? Yeah.
Sorry, Sheikh, very quickly, I just want to clear my understanding. You were talking about whether some people think iman is faith with action, and some people think it's action with faith. And ostensibly, this people would say, well, this is just semantics. But it's not, because I'm thinking that belief, as you say, if without action, Allah has nothing for it, no reward.
Yeah.
Whereas people who have action without belief, even that Allah does reward. If not in Akhirah, then in dunya. But He will never let action be unrewarded. So it does say that that is a priority. It is a higher status.
That's right.
Is that a good understanding?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Very good.
Thank you. Any other brothers, sisters? Sheikh, sometimes very interesting now to sort of distinguish between ta'wil and tafsir, because just recall, but a couple of Fridays ago, we had a lecture here, and very kindly, one of our brothers was trying to explain, but he ran short of the time. From the hadith, so I think from Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, that mu'min are made from a pure clay, and the kafir are created from bad clay, something like that, to that effect. But because he didn't have time to explain, so now, if I recall that the ta'wil that you are trying to
explain, it certainly needs ta'wil. It's you cannot just take it as it is.
Yeah, so because he didn't have the time, so he couldn't explain.
Yeah.
And so perhaps this is now becoming more clear, what is ta'wil and what is tafsir. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Any other brothers or sisters? No? Thank you, Muhammad. Wa ali Muhammad Salwat. Next Sunday? Inshallah.